Good afternoon. This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. I hope you enjoyed our broadcast of Verdi's Don Carlo from the San Francisco Opera. Well, between now and the beginning of Played in Oregon, we've got something quite special for you because I am joined in the JPR studios today by the Danish String Quartet. I'm going to try the names: Rune Tonsgaard Sorensen, Frederik Uhland, Asbjørn Norgaard, and Frederik Scholin.
Wow. That's impressive.
Welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by. I read that you guys first met at a summer camp. Is that true?
That is correct, yeah.
A musical summer camp or just a summer camp?
It's a musical summer camp in the Danish countryside. It's a school called Asko Højskole, and they are hosting every year this week of music for amateurs. So of all ages, from small kids to old people, and everybody's there for the love of music making, that's where we met and played together for the first time.
You guys are all within a couple of years of age of one another. Sometimes at summer camps there are 12-year-olds that play with 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds that play with 14-year-olds. Were you guys able to intermingle pretty well at that camp?
We certainly were, but when we met, we were only like 12 or 13, and I think it was just lucky that we were at the same age, and maybe that's the reason why we were talking to each other at all. But we were there playing music, but also playing soccer, hanging out, and just, you know, I was brought there many years with my parents. They brought me there, and the first couple of times I was there, I was very little. And most of the time I was just playing one, when you go there, you participate in two orchestras, so you play two symphonies. But when I was there for the first time, I only played one movement, maybe. So I had a lot of time off just to run around with these guys and have fun and hang out and listening to music, too. It was made such a big impression.
Mm. Well, you were so young when you first met and started making music together. Did any of you have to shift the instruments that you naturally played in order to fill a role here in the quartet?
Yeah, actually, because back then all of us were playing violin.
Ah.
I'm the viola player speaking here. I like to think that I was the more clever one, so I was the quickest one to pick up the tricky viola clef. I was also I had very long arms and this and that. So I eventually I skipped the violin and turned into a full-time viola player, mainly because of the quartet, actually.
So the group has officially now been together about 10 years. You have talked in previous interviews about how you have landed on only performing repertoire that you like playing, right? Was that not really the case in the first years? I mean, are there set pieces that you just need to have in your bag of tricks that you might not actually like playing much?
Well, as you get your education as a classical musician, there are pieces that you need to play, and that as it is often around every career, you do what you're told, right? So if your teacher brings a piece, then you play the piece, and we just thought a lot about this, and it seems like there's a tendency in classical music to think that as long as it's labeled classical music, then it's a masterpiece. And we started thinking about this, and actually we don't really agree with that. So some Haydn quartets that we love playing, that we love listening to, and some of them we don't like as much. So why shouldn't we just stick to the ones that we really like? And once you get this thought, then it seems like the most natural thing. But I think it's just a byproduct of growing up in a world where, you do as you're told with your teacher, but also just having this, there's so much stuff, and we play everything, but you know, you gotta pick your stuff, and if you like what you're doing, then it's obviously gonna be a better product as well.
The Danish String Quartet, my guests, live today in the JPR studios. What have you prepared to play for us first today?
We will play the first movement of the Beethoven Quartet. It's one of his early set of string quartets, the Opus 18, and this is number 4 in C minor, very dramatic and passionate piece of music, and we will play the first movement. Thank you.
That is the Danish String Quartet performing Beethoven live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Well, just before the Beethoven, which was fantastic, by the way, thank you for playing that, we talked a little bit about selecting pieces for your repertoire, your concert repertoire, that you like. What is it that you like? What draws you musically? There are four individuals in this group, and you can't all have exactly the same preferences. So what kinds of things draw you in and make you want to explore them and see if they will work for your ensemble?
That's a very good question, and I suppose if you put us in different rooms, you'll get very different answers also. I think classical music can do so many different things well. So in one piece, what we are drawn to could be that it's the most beautiful piece ever written. It can be that it's the most deep music. It can be that it's the most sparkling, funny music. It can be so many things. And a string quartet can sound in so many different ways. So there's no quick answer to that question. But I think intuitively, all of us are enjoying the same pieces by sheer magic, you might say.
I mean, I would imagine that they all have to have something interesting for each of you, right? I mean, nobody wants the boring part.
Not necessarily, actually. I mean, obviously, when you do an early Beethoven quartet, the first violin has a couple of more tunes than the viola player has.
Sure.
but I don't think it's boring at all. I think, of course, if we only played music from one time period, maybe it would get boring. But we pick from more than 500 years of music history. So we never get stuck in a role like that. And being the viola player, I don't mind having an early Beethoven quartet where I don't have so many tunes because there's so much else going on that is in some ways more interesting than just playing the melody all the time, I think.
You know, it's often talked about that a string quartet is almost like one organism with four limbs, right? Two arms, two legs. You've all got to be good players individually. You all have to be able to play together. But to a large degree, you also have to play in the same way. That must have taken quite a while to all have the same kind of attack and the same interpretation of what a dynamic marking means. Is that something that you have to continually work at, or was it a really natural meeting of the minds when the four of you started playing together?
I think that there are some things that you can rehearse and practice and you can focus on, and then there are so many things that you can't really rehearse and things that are just happening. Our old teacher in Copenhagen, he always used to say that you're not allowed to call yourself a string quartet until after 10 years of playing together, because you need to have that kind of the collaboration and the sense of each other, and you have to know each other extremely well. So there are stuff you can practice. We always practice a lot of intonation and the basic stuff, but there's just this getting to know each other. That's you just have to spend time together, basically. And some of it is, you know, I'm pretty sure I can play better with these guys because I know them personally well, not only musically as well. So there are some things you can practice and some things you can't, I'm sure.
There is a bit of wordplay that English speakers use, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, where we add ish to the end of a word to mean not really. And I would almost say that you guys are the Danish-ish string quartet because you've welcomed a Norwegian into your ranks.
Norway and Denmark is basically the same cultural sphere. It's the same language. Mm-hmm. If you see those languages written, you wouldn't notice a difference. And if you, as an American, if you hit the ground in the airport in Oslo or in Copenhagen, you would probably not recognize that it's a different country. So it's been a very natural thing for us, and I don't feel many huge cultural differences like this. So,
yeah, Norway used to be Danish until 1814, you know. So, but I mean, we also studied at the same school, and so we have a lot in common, I would say, and also the way of approaching music. And also just being together is very natural. So, yeah.
Well, in addition to the Bach and the Shostakovich and the Beethoven that is in your repertoire, you also perform folk music from that area of the world. I'm going to throw out a guess that perhaps, Asbjørn, this came from you, being that you are the more rural person in the group, right? Growing up in the countryside, you probably had a bit more exposure to traditional folk tunes.
I guess I said this rural stuff in some interview at once. Actually, not. I grew up in the more rural part of Denmark, but I'm probably the least folky in the quartet.
Really?
Yeah. Denmark is a very small country, so nothing is really rural in the sense of rural in American way. So I would say that it's probably better to direct the question to Rune on the violin, who's the most folky of us.
Yeah, so my father, he's from the Faroe Islands and came to Denmark many years ago, met my mom in folk dance. So I grew up with this kind of tradition in Denmark and played it as a kid, and I've been playing it ever since.
Do you select folk tunes that are hundreds of years old, or write new things, or a combination of everything?
A combination of everything. We like to play tunes that, like in the classical repertoire, that we feel has something interesting. It can be a beauty or simplicity or a special feel to it. And that includes both old traditional melodies, but also a few newer pieces. Yeah, we even tried writing one ourselves, which was interesting to try. But most of it is arranged pieces.
Do you guys do the arrangement for the four voices of the quartet as a collective unit?
We do it collectively, but normally it works like that. That either Frederick or I make like a draft of a piece. It can be more or less finished, but then we bring it to the group and we practice it together, and maybe some places need to be adjusted or fine-tuned, that's how we normally do it, and that tends to work pretty well for us.
The Danish String Quartet, my guests live today in the JPR studios.
We will play two tunes, and the first one is a very beautiful song from Sweden. Actually, the melody is could actually come from Germany originally, but it came to Sweden back in the 19th century, and they kind of made it their own, also almost kind of national hymn. And it's like an homage to a special area in Sweden called Värmland. And after that, we play a brand new reel that we wrote that is called Shine You No More. So, yeah.
Thank you.
That is the Danish String Quartet live today on Jefferson Public Radio. What is the name of that last reel that you just played?
It's a reel that we call Shine You No More.
Rune Tonsgaard Sorensen on violin, Frederik Uhland on violin, Asbjørn Norgaard on viola, Frederik Scholin on cello, the Danish String Quartet. Guys, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
I know that a lot of performance groups, in addition to making CDs, often create t-shirts for sale as merchandise or posters. You guys have done it the right way. You had beer made?
That is correct, yes.
That's fantastic.
We had an American pale ale made a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Where does one go about getting some of that?
Oh, so it's made by a brewery in Denmark, a very small microbrewery called Frederiksberg Brewery. I'm not sure if it's possible to get online, but it's for sale at our concert series called Series of Four, and I'm sure that that it will be a big success, this beer. We already tasted it, and the first batch is wonderful.
Well, guys, thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet all of you.
You too. Thank you.